business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 5 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us. Really nice to hear Mike McKenna's voice there before I came online. Mike, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well, and I miss chatting to you every week. About 3 weeks ago, we did a show where I answered a lot of your questions, and as usual, we ran out of time. So what I've done is I've allocated the time today to go through the remaining questions, and I've broken them down into two categories, the two outstanding question categories that we hadn't got to. The one was retirement savings, which includes retirement annuities and pension and provident funds. And the other one was income protection. I'm going to go through retirement savings maybe more briefly because we have been through it at some stage. And a lot of the questions are generic, and the same questions tend to be asked over and over again. So maybe if I can just create the framework, it'll give you a basis on which to understand how the system works. So in South Africa, the government realized many, many years ago that the most important thing for South Africans when it comes to retirement savings is to allow them a framework to save that will also induce them or encourage them to save. And by that, they gave you a tax break on the money that you put towards your pension, provident, or retirement annuity fund. A retirement annuity fund came out of the need for people who are not part of a group scheme to have the same tax deductibility and the same tax-free growth as people on group schemes. In other words, where there was employer-employee relationship. That has now been around for many, many years, and it's basically part of the furniture of the South African savings environment. Say what you want about retirement annuities or pension funds. 99% of people who use them need that coercion to do it. They need that fixed saving to know that every month money is coming off my salary and is being put away. At the beginning of one's employment, when you get your salary slip, if HR has not done their job properly, which unfortunately is often the case, you have a gross figure in your mind. In other words, before deductions as to what your salary is going to be. And when the salary hits your bank account, you often have this unpleasant surprise. And when you go through your salary slip, you'll see that certain amount to take deducted from your part of the income for pension. The company pays a certain part, which means that you've got quite a lot going away to savings. There's also included a bit of risk cover in that, life, disability, funeral. But you're forced to save, and that money grows on an ongoing basis, and you contribute to it on a monthly basis. A retirement annuity is the same thing. It just goes off your own account, and you contribute on a monthly basis, and you set the benchmark, what you can afford, how much you want to do. You should do an analysis as to how much you should be putting away. And the secret is really to start young and to start with a meaningful amount, and to make sure that you use funds that are somewhat aggressive, that they have growth potential over the long run. And that's really the framework of what it's all about. Trevor Manuel, when he was finance minister many, many moons ago, gave a full tax deduction on contributions to pension and provident funds. But there are limits, and those limits came in later. Currently, it's 27.5% of your gross income. So let's use simple figures. If you earn 10,000 Rand a month, 2,750 Rand a month, you can put away towards a pension, a provident, an RA, either all or all of them together. And that will be used as a tax deduction. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'll break down what that tax deduction means for you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. Today we are answering all your questions. And then we have the final two categories, retirement savings and income protection. So how does the deduction on your retirement annuity pension and provident fund work? It's very simple. If you're earning 10,000 Rand a month and you contribute, let's say 2,000 Rand towards your RA, you will be taxed on 10,000 minus 2,000, which is 8,000. That's the tax you will pay, not tax on the 10,000. Practically, you often are taxed on the 10,000 and then you get a refund at the end of the year once it all comes out in the wash, especially if you're on a pension or provident fund. But that's the way it works. Can I access my retirement fund before retirement age? The answer is yes. And the answer is, question is how? The answer to that is the new two-pot system that has come in. When you call your investment company or when you go online, you will see a detailed statement that will tell you what is available. I'm not going to go through the formulas now, but suffice it to say, a certain amount that you've contributed beforehand, a small amount can be withdrawn now, and a percentage of what you contribute every year can be taken out annually. So you are able to access it. It is a moot point, whether that is a good or a bad idea. I suppose it allows those who are cash-strapped and those who need access to some sort of investment savings to get it. But on the other hand, it really corrodes the bigger picture investment retirement savings over the long run. If you keep chipping away at it, it doesn't have time for the capital to vest and the interest to grow on that. So yes, whereas they have given you some relief in order to access some of your money, it comes at a long-term cost. Okay, what happens to my RA if I die before retirement? That's really simple. Your RA gets paid out to your beneficiaries. So if you have put down a beneficiary as your wife, your children, it will get paid out to them. But, and this is a very big but, I'm not going to get into the legal side as to why this occurs. However, before your RA is paid out, the trustees of the RA fund at any company need to verify that your beneficiary was indeed financially dependent on you. Let me give you a scenario that happened to me. We had a lady who worked in a food preparation business, very, very big multinational, and she died. She passed away. She had a pension fund. She had money that had to be paid out. And on her wish, her statement of wishes, she had stated her husband as the beneficiary to that money. There was a whole to-do and there was a meeting with the HR and in walked two different people. On the one hand, in walked her husband with a marriage certificate. And on the other hand, in walked her sister with an affidavit from the police station. And the affidavit stated very clearly that the children of the deceased lived with her and had for many years. And the deceased and her lived together under one roof. More than that, she said under oath that the husband is estranged, never contributed financially to the well-being of the children, and has had no contact with the wife or the children for many, many years. They were both presented to HR. We took the documentation, sent it on to the company that managed the fund, and the husband did not receive a penny. Every cent of it went to the sister, because ultimately that would have been the wish of the deceased, unless she was twisted in the mind and she just did not change the beneficiary as time went by. And second of all, those are the people that were dependent on her income. One caveat to that is divorce. One is going to be very, very careful. If you are divorced or if you know somebody who is divorced, the more traumatic it is, the less likely it has been that the divorced person has changed the beneficiary. Why? Because they just didn't get around to it. So if you've got a life policy, especially a life policy or an IRA or an investment, make sure your beneficiaries are up to date. Just go and check that bit. Right, next question. What are the fees and charges on my investment? Okay, so when it comes to retirement annuity, it's slightly different to what you'd get on a pension or provident fund. A pension or provident fund, you will see a one-line item of fees. If you have a sort of full-blown pension or provident fund, where you have life cover, disability, and funeral, and then savings, and all that sort of stuff, all wrapped up neatly in one product, you'll see a line item that says fees, and those usually hang on the life cover, what they call GLA, side of things. If not, it will tell you very clearly what the fees are in percentages, and often it'll show you in rands also. On a retirement annuity, it is a little bit more complex. You'll have a something called an effective cost schedule, and that'll show you the breakdown of your fees, and there you'll have three basic fees. In no particular order, one will be your financial advisor's fee, and that'll be as a percentage. The other one will be the administration fee, in other words, the company that holds your investment. So, for example, if you've got an RA through Momentum, what Momentum will charge you every month or every year, sorry, it's paid monthly, but it's charged annually as a percentage to house that investment. And number three, the fund manager fee. And that is, for example, once again, you have your investment at Momentum, but if you move that investment, but your fund is at Allan Gray, for example, Allan Gray will charge you an investment manager's fee. However, don't be fooled by this. That investment manager's fee might not show on other companies' structures. You know, when they show you the costs, it might not be there. That's not correct because technically they need to show you everything, but practically it's right. Why? Because when that fund gives you a return, and let's say they say your 1 year recurring return has been 10%, that fee has already been deducted. So when you're seeing it on your costs, you don't need to take your 10% minus whatever they're charging you. That has already been deducted. You're just going to deduct your advisor's fee and your platform fee. Right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. And right, to finish off your questions about retirement savings, can I change my investment portfolios within my RA? Absolutely, you can at any time. Please just be aware that there are different fees for different types of portfolios. Usually, what happens, the more aggressive the portfolio, in other words, the greater percentage of equities in the portfolio, the more expensive it tends to be. And some companies, for example, have reward programs. And if there's a large amount of cash holdings in the investment, then you don't get rewards on those funds. So just check out those little things, but you can change them. And a lot of companies give you, I think, up to 10 or 12 changes per year without charging you. What is the earliest age I can retire? All things being equal, the earliest age you can retire legally is age 55. It is a technical process. You need to discuss it with someone who understands it. And especially if you are on a job and you have been forced to retire because of age, it triggers a whole lot of repercussions, and one must just be aware of them. Number 10. Will I outlive my retirement savings? Well, sorry to be a doomsday prophet or a pessimist. The answer most probably is yes. And the reason for that is that the inflation in South Africa runs way above what we call CPI, the basket of inflationary goods, especially for those in the higher LSMs, the higher income categories. Why? Medical aid costs go up by more than inflation. We've had steep increases in water, electricity rates, and taxes. Petrol, even though it's just come down, is very expensive. VAT, these type of things tend to have a knock-on effect that cause retirement savings to become depleted. Really, what it's all about is time in the market, not timing in the market. And that goes for not only how long your money is invested in particular funds, but how early you start. Train yourself to start early. If you are savvy and a business person and you're able to hustle and you can buy and sell property and shares, great. You can potentially earn far better than you would do in an RA. But if you're an average Joe, where you're relying on the fund manager to make your money work, the more you put away, the more frequently and the earlier you start, the better it will be for you. Okay, so we have gone through RAs. Let's quickly jump onto income protection. And the first question is, how does income protection or income or salary protection differ from disability insurance? The answer is they both have the same base starting point, but they are cousins, but so far apart they're almost unrecognizable. Lump sum disability has two words that apply to it, total and permanent. So if you are disabled, the disability needs to be total and permanent, whether you can see it or not. A person can have an emotional issue, not visibly seen maybe. A person can have a fine motor coordination issue, might not be seen obviously to the eye, but if it's there and it's permanent and it can be proven medically, then your lump sum disability should pay out to some extent. Your income disability works totally differently. There, you can claim on a temporary disability and obviously on a permanent disability. So, if you have a policy that has a 1 month waiting period, that has an annual increase of inflation, you can claim on that money, get it paid out to you after waiting your 1 month. If the doctor has booked you off for 3 months, or you have an illness or an event that triggers a claim for a period of time after 30 days waiting, if that's what your waiting period is, you can then claim for another 2 months. It'll pay out. It'll pay out based on your current net salary, and it will not be taxable because the premium is not deductible. Therefore, the payout is not taxable, but it is really dependent on the amount that you've put down. If you under declare, so in other words, if you earn 100,000 rand a month, but you've only insured yourself for 50, that's all you're going to get. If you earn 100, but you've insured yourself for 150, you might get away with the 150 for a month or two, but most companies are going to ask for your latest RRP5s. And based on that, they are going to process the claim. So it's important that you make sure that the cover matches your income. A lot of people forget about it. It increases year on year. Some years they don't get an increase, and there's no longer a correlation between their income and the amount they're insured for. The extra bit that you're paying is a waste of money. Make sure that you bring them in line and you're only covered for what you'll get paid out on. That is a very, very important part. How much of my salary will the policy replace? It'll replace usually 75% of your net salary. A lot of companies are now able to push it up to 100% of your net salary, but bearing in mind that'll only be up until age 65. Thereafter, it'll drop down to 75% of your salary if you're claiming for the rest of your life and one lives after 65. But again, read your policy document and understand it. Is there a waiting period before the policy kicks in? Yes, there always is. The shortest one can have is 7 days. Sometimes it's retroactive, so you don't even have to wait. But that is usually for self-employed people. And typically it's for like your doctors, your dentists, your lawyers, your accountants running their own practices. In other words, they're not going to get a salary if they don't work. Then it's a 1 month, 3 month, and it can go up to 6 months. And I've even seen a year waiting period. So look at what's appropriate to you. If your company will pay you for the 3 months that you are not able to work, why pay for a shorter waiting period if you will get an income? How long will I receive payouts for if I can't work? I think we've covered that. You will receive it for as long as you are medically booked off for, or for the rest of your life. Or to the expiry age of a policy if you have an expiry age, depending on what the illness is. Is income protection taxed in South Africa? As I said earlier, the premium is not tax deductible and the income that you receive is not taxed. Do I need to be completely unable to work or just in my current job? Again, that depends on the definition of your policy. Usually they look at your inability to function properly as a person, not really related to your job, but you could have a scenario where it is linked to your job. If you do, it might be worth paying a little bit more to get a more comprehensive benefit structure. What are the medical conditions? What medical conditions are covered or excluded? That is a purely subjective question. Everything should be covered that will render you unable to function. However, for example, if you are a person who suffers from emotional issues, you have anxiety, depression, and you're on medication for it, you might, for example, have an exclusion for anything in that category. Can it be lifted? Yes. By staying on a policy, going through treatment, and then applying after time to say, I've gone through this, I'm now rehabilitated, or whatever the correct term is, and getting medical proof for that. Second last question, will my cover still apply if I become self-employed later? Absolutely, it will, but just make sure that it's updated. And can I claim for mental health issues or burnout? One can definitely claim for mental health issues. Burnout, there are definitions as to what the claims are, and one needs to make sure that they fit within the definitions. Often one feels that they are entitled to a claim, and yet they might not be. And lastly, can I increase my salary, my cover if my salary goes up? You'd be silly not to. What's the point? Unless, thank God, you're earning far more than you need, and then you can be more conservative. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. Craig, as always, thank you so much for pushing the buttons. Everybody, thank you for listening. We will be with you next week.